Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. We've got a great show lined up for you.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, now, kid, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
And Brendan Sprague.
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You love to hear the story again and again.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope everybody's doing okay. Everybody doing all right? 55305, you doing okay? Also, where are you listening from today? I'm curious on that. Because there's not a lot of cars out there on the road. And we know our P1s are, they stick with us through thick and thin. You're still out there.
I think a lot of our listeners are still deemed essential, though. And there's also a lot of people that maybe the technically they don't fall in that category. They're still going to work.
Right.
Because, I mean, I know they deemed it a place and shelter, where the hell you want to call it. But realistically, it still feels like if people want or can still go into work, they are.
Right.
They're not staying home.
Yeah, that's true. I hope everybody's doing okay. I saw a thing on the news today about Italy. Like, southern Italy apparently is really impoverished, I guess. Mm. And they don't have a lot of money. And there's, like, groups on Facebook that are starting to congregate together. And they're about to, like, overrun supermarkets because they're running out of money.
I watched 60 Minutes last night, which was not a good idea by me, but I felt like I kind of owed it to
who'd they have on.
Well, they did a big special on the hospitals in New York.
Sure.
So they had like three or four doctors. They had a few nurses that were being interviewed. And it was, you know, it's very disheartening and it's terrible to see the reality that they're living in. But I feel like we should also be respecting what they're doing and what they're willing to be doing right now to keep people alive and to help us. But I'm balancing that with following sad stories like that with also finding the good, right? So like I watched the 60 Minutes piece and then I text a couple friends and they shot back a video that in like four different cities in four different areas all throughout the world, they've had police motorcades and people like random citizens come up to hospitals and blast their sirens and give standing ovations and just, you know, do a bunch of clapping and thanking. I saw a nurse in England, her whole neighborhood came out. And as she was going to her car to go back to work, because she had a few hours off between her shifts, she came out and everybody just started going crazy, giving her standing O, cheering. And she was overcome with just tears of happy. Couldn't believe it. Thanked everybody. Like,
that's awesome.
I'm trying to balance it mentally of it sucks being quarantined. My kids can't go do what we want to do all the time. But there's so many other important things right now that I'm still trying to follow the somewhat pessimistic but reality that the healthcare workers are dealing with the good that's coming out of something like this, with people giving back and helping each other.
Now that John Oliver was back last night, and it was a pretty good episode, and I thought he had a great point. When we're allowed to congregate people together again, we need to throw the healthcare providers a parade. Like
they
need one, what they're going through. And some of the reactions from them, it's heart-wrenching to think of what they're going through right now.
I have a buddy, I have a few people I know in my life that work in the healthcare field, and I have one of my buddies, Tony, he's got an infant, and I think his kid's 6 or 7 months now, cutest kid ever. He can't even sleep in his house with his wife and kid. Not because they're telling him it's he has to, but it's more they both are in the health field and they're trying to be very cautious and not expose his kids. So, like, he can't even be around his kid all that much right now. And
it's brutal, man.
It really is brutal.
That is brutal. A lot of people, some people at work, I'm an essential SOB. I'm in Salem working at home. When I'm listening from home, I'm sick of working from home. In the kitchen with the wife. What else we got here? Thank God I'm deemed essential and I work every day, driving in my dump truck. Mm-hmm. Deemed essential. I normally work from Monday from home Mondays anyways. We got one person listening in Bloomington, Indiana, so shout out to that. There. How about that as a random location listening today?
Go Hoosiers.
Yeah, go Hoosiers, man. That is, I will say, I am very thankful for, we kind of talked about it last week. I am very thankful that we're still coming in and doing this because it gives me a brief sense of normalcy. I don't, like, for people, whether you're not working, and I hope you're still getting paid at least, but I know that's not the case for everybody. Yeah. Just being stuck at home and not being able to leave every day, you go stir crazy. I mean, that's just, that's tough to deal with.
Well, we had that yesterday. It was, had a brief moment of sunshine, and it was like kind of PM-ish. Yeah. And I said, let's go take the dog on a walk. It's our second walk of the day. Let's go. And we got outside, and my wife goes, I just realized I haven't been out of the house in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of...
You lose track of it a little bit.
You do. Like, somebody said, Happy May, April 29th of 2019, 2020. I don't even know anymore.
What day of the week?
Somebody else on Friday said, hey, happy Friday. Remember when Friday meant something? Now Friday feels like every day where we're not sure.
It's just the same as any
work
other
tomorrow
day, man.
Or if we're staying home.
Yeah, they're all blending together. Somebody in Phoenix listening. Well, shout out to all you guys. We hope you're doing okay. It sucks. We're all going through it, and hopefully it doesn't last as long. We'll get through it together, though. We'll be here every day for the foreseeable future until they stop letting us come in here, at least. I do.
I was just going to say, finally, on this point, if you can, I know, I get it. It's not easy for everybody out there. If you can donate to local food bank, do it, whether that's canned goods or online. I've been trying to do as much stuff as I can financially. It's not easy. Breaking news, radio people don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have your allotment every month, and I'm thankful to still have my job. And as long as I do, I'm trying to do local. So I think this week I'm going to try to do 3 dinners from a local spot.
Amen for that, man.
Grubhub.
You got to support whoever you can locally. And a lot of places are doing, you know, you go pick it up and stuff. If you can, if it's a great way to get out of the house, you just go drop by, call it in, order it. You go grab it, all that kind of stuff. So it's a good way to keep interacting with the community. Let's get to quickly the Hunters Episode 7 recap.
Okay.
Now, we watched over the weekend. I will fully admit I watched Episode 8. Sue me. I couldn't stop after 7.
I'm not mad. Just don't ruin any of our notions of what potentially could be happening here.
I will not, because Episode 7 ends with quite a bombshell, literally, with spoiler alert, a main character going, two main characters going down.
Maury is gone.
Yeah, that one I didn't see coming.
You didn't see that one coming, huh?
That one I didn't see coming. I knew Lonnie Flash was going down.
You felt like Lonnie was
I said that last week on the show.
You did. I liked the theory. Now, let me tell you why I wasn't shocked with Maury. A listener hit it right on the nose, and I agreed with it. We just didn't read the text. Maury, of every character, kind of was the first that come to your mind of, it's probably his time. He married off his daughter to what seems like a good guy, even though there's no backstory there.
It seemed like a good guy.
He kind of got revenge in a sense of they caught the Nazi who murdered his son. I know they battled their own demons of whether they wanted to murder him or not, and they ended up not going through with it. But putting him in chains and seeing him captive, I think, helped them immensely. And he dealt with this whole atheist or Jewish religion battle throughout the show.
Yeah, the conversation with the rabbi when he came to the house.
And I thought the wedding summed it up well. He may not have followed the Jewish traditions and prayed and given in to reading everything anymore, but he said amen at the wedding.
He did.
His wife noticed it, so I think that meant everything to her.
And then he sees his son on the train.
And
the
he says, thank you, Lord, as he's holding, he sees his son in his mind right before it goes off. It seemed like it come to a conclusion for him of he really battled the religion once he lost his kid.
Can I tell you who really lost me this episode is the FBI agent? She's pissing me off.
I disagree. I think she's dealing with her circumstances.
Well, sure, but I feel like if you're a person of the law and you're posed with Nazis or non-Nazis, wouldn't you take a little bit more of an aggressive stance towards the Nazis?
Well, I think she understands time is of the essence, and she's just putting leverage on the one lever she has right now that she knows. She doesn't know who any of these Nazis are, how to find him. She's
right.
Like, he's finding all these guys. Yes. I just need to leverage the hell out of him.
I feel like it's too aggressive of a tone
now,
for me. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think she knows quite what she's up against with him.
Not at all.
And she's figuring that out. And obviously, I'm assuming then in episode 8, after he said, no, you know, the power went out, and he's like, you got to let me go now. Here's why.
Tried to warn you.
She might get it. The part that I'm finding is the absolute most unbelievable that I just is the kid's ability to break codes. Like, where is that coming? Like,
he's a super genius.
Remember, because in the first episode, they showed like Harvard letters and Yale letters.
He couldn't afford them.
They haven't done a very good job in the show
of creating a backstory for the brilliance.
That or how he utilizes that and what he was doing before.
What do you mean?
That's a valid point.
Before the group?
Yeah, before when he was just a kid, when he was just out there hanging out with his friends or whatever. Like,
I think that sums up his situation, though, doesn't it? Like, he clearly used his brain to his benefit, and he got accepted to these Harvard League schools that would change his life, but he couldn't afford them. So I think he just realistically was like, well, this is my life. I'm a Brooklyn kid. I can't go anywhere.
Yeah, see, I don't buy that. I would think if you, once you recognized you had the ability to manipulate number or whatever it particularly is, I would think he would be finding more ways to utilize that to create money given his financial situation, whether it was legal or not, the ethics of which you
are
can
you suggesting
debate.
Tom Cruise Rain Man stuff?
So maybe
cards here, huh?
Well, yeah, why isn't he going to Atlantic City?
It is true. Like, he is like the key figure in the group now because he's cracking all these codes.
He's cracking all these codes. I'm like, where's
that code was
from?
Extra hard too. Like,
how
that
are you coming
was
up
in,
with that? Really? Yeah.
Every fourth key is the same. And the fourth key, it's like, well, I don't know about that.
That's the most far-fetched of it at this point that I don't have a good, like...
That's what I agree with you there.
It's necessary to the storyline to have him be able to do that, to uncrack things and keep it going. But there needs to be some backstory somewhere, how he came to understand he was able to do that.
Your FBI beef... I get it from your perspective, but you have to be real.
I know.
She's only finding out about Nazis from the murder that Meyer and company have committed.
Yeah.
So, yes, she smells that there's a Nazi program, Operation Paperclip, but she has no real insight. And her only lead right now is the guy who may be murdering.
Sure.
So she brings him in to question, to maybe find.
She also got beat up, though, by Nazi, some connection to Nazi folk.
Yeah, but we don't know if that's CIA.
Sure, but again, she got beat up for sniffing down a Nazi rabbit hole.
But what's her only connection to the rabbit hole?
Yeah.
It's Meyer.
I know.
I see what you're saying.
The tone's pissing me off. It's all I'm saying. I just don't like the tone.
I didn't like how dismissive she was of him saying, they're going to attack tonight. And she goes, oh, really?
Oh,
how?
Really? Yeah.
It's like, instead of just doing that, why don't you say, okay, can you give me insight? Let's plan for this or let's get it together.
And they said, oh, boys, listening to you guys recap after having finished it last night is awesome. I did. I watched, because the way episode 7 ended, I didn't watch it right away. I was like, let's be patient here. I ended up watching 19. I watched it Friday night, then I watched 1917, which, by the way, really good.
Really?
Highly suggested. The way it shot, the way they shot it was incredible.
Wow.
It just shoots you out of a cannon 4 minutes into the movie, and you're just like strapped in, like, let's go. Phenomenal, phenomenal movie. But then last night we were sitting around. It's like, all right, let's watch episode 8. Because I was curious to see the aftermath. So are you guys going to watch tonight, episode 8 tonight?
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Okay,
yeah.
Episode 8 tonight?
Well, okay. I kind of have to watch it in the day. My wife is getting terrified watching this show.
She doesn't
want to
watch it tonight?
No, it keeps her awake.
Okay.
All she does is think of the torture scenes.
Yeah.
She's like, great. Are there Nazis living around us right now? And I'm like, well.
Calm down.
Sans a couple morons who probably subscribe and do nothing about it. I think you're okay.
I won't say 8 is a really good episode. So if you get a chance to watch it tonight, we'll break it down tomorrow. I really enjoyed it. Okay, where should we go from here? How about let's have some fun? Lighten it up from Nazis. We have a song of advice, a story about somebody's life getting saved, and then a dog got a ticket over the weekend.
Do we have any cure to the corona? Don't we have that too?
Do we have a cure to the corona? We have a corona cure?
I thought somebody cured corona.
Oh, Stephon Marbury? You want to get to that?
No.
Who cured corona?
The pastor.
Oh, I don't know if I sent that to Swag. I don't know if we ended up pulling it.
Well, yeah. We got to play this.
You want to play the pastor who cured the corona?
This pastor just prays away coronavirus. And I want to know if people really just buy this.
That's true. Okay, we'll send that one to Swag. We'll get to that as well here in the final 45 minutes of the show. But we'll have some fun coming up next on The Fan. Welcome back in 218. It's just not raining too hard today. Got to find the little positives. No, we're back. Somebody said 1917 was truly amazing. Turn off all the lights and crank the surround sound. It's like being there. Yeah, I did it Friday night, man. I had it turned up. I turned up loud on the surround sound. I don't think this is spoiling anything, so I'm going to say it.
Ah, damn it. I haven't seen it yet. Go ahead.
I don't know. Can you guys think of movies that are shot in like one continuous shot?
The camera angle doesn't change?
No, the camera angle changes, but like it's just like there's no end scene, go to the next scene kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Blair Witch Project?
Okay.
Although I haven't seen that in so long.
God, it's been a long time.
Wasn't
since
it
I've
always
seen that.
A handheld camera that it's an ongoing story?
And it
story?
Just kept for like two straight hours. Like that was the most incredible thing about it was it's like one scene. Like
it just doesn't stop and go to a different scene?
No, it's just it. It just starts and then it goes the whole movie. It was incredible the way it was shot that way. I wasn't sure
1917?
What to expect. I can't remember. Yeah, somebody texted in Blair Witch. I can't remember who did 1917.
That's the only other movie I can think of where... And again, I'm not even remembering Blair Witch all that much, but...
Yeah, because I didn't know that was the thing about it, and then I watched it, and it was like Sam Mendes directed it. Oh, that was the thing at the end, too. I think he had, like, a family member that fought in World War One because it was, like, a memento, like, thanks something Mendes for your stories or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So something like that. But, yeah, highly suggest go watch it, 1917. I finally got a chance on Friday.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or 1917? Which one was better to you?
1917.
Mm.
Okay. 1917.
All right.
Very different movies, obviously.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Haired it out. I'd give it A- minus for 1917, B plus for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Okay. There's my hot movie takes right now. Let's get to some fun with audio, shall we? We'll start here. This was a song. This went viral over the weekend. Rex Chapman, I believe, was the first one that tweeted it. I had a bunch of family members that were texting it. And thanks to Swigard for his due diligence on bleeping all the bleeps in here. So
it's a lot of bleeps.
We'll cross our fingers because, hey, back-to-back shows, let's not go for a cuss word on back-to-back shows. Here is advice for the American public.
The world has caught a virus, so I've written you a poem. We need your help to cure it, so stay the f- at home. And if you have got 12 kids or you're living on your own, lock it down and isolate and stay the f- at home. If you think you're not at risk here, you're living in a dome. It spreads faster than a hooker's leg, so stay the f- at home. I need the gym, I need the beach, I hear you bitch and moan. You need to grow a brain cell and stay the f- at home. But I feel fine, I don't feel sick, I'll go out on my own. How thick are you, you selfish prick? Please just stay the f*** at home. From L.A. through to Berlin, from Wuhan through to Rome, there's people dying every day, so stay the f*** at home. If you need to contact family, use Facebook, Skype, or phone. We've got the f***ing internet, so stay the f*** at home. The only way to slow it down is isolate, not roam. Please help the world get back on track and stay the f*** at home. Stay the f*** at home, stay the f*** at home. Don't you be a f***. Please stay the f- at home.
That's what I'm talking about, huh?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
So well done. So well produced.
Who is that guy, by the way? Do we know? Is he like a...
I'm sure he's a well-known guy at some level, yeah, right?
He wrote that. I thought that was pretty funny.
He even had, like, right when he ends, too, he just turns the camera, stay the f- at home.
That's great.
One more.
By the way, continuously shot movies. I forgot about this. One of my movies I've enjoyed here in the last hand, Birdman was a great movie. You guys
Birdman,
remember Birdman
was really good. Mike Keaton,
was
right?
It was in one shot. They kind of did that. They followed it from room to room around all the halls of the play. That's a great one.
Touché.
I had forgotten about. Okay, from that, let's have some fun with this.
Did he win an Oscar for that? Was that finally his Oscar moment?
Michael Keaton?
Or did he get hosed? Because remember, that was a big deal when he did that movie. They were like, is he finally going to get
it? Didn't it win Best Picture?
It won Best Picture.
I'll look up if he won.
I know he was nominated.
I loved Birdman. It was a great movie.
I thought Emma Stone won for Best Actress, but I...
Well, he's...
Did she?
Yeah.
That movie? Okay.
What didn't... Well, I'm talking about Keaton.
Yeah.
No, I understand. I can't remember if he won or not. See.
Okay. Yeah, I Googled that. I'm curious. That's a movie I might have to rewatch on quarantine. I haven't seen that one since I saw it in the theaters.
I don't know. You would think it'd just be right there when you... Oh, no, he was just a nominee.
Just a nominee, huh?
Yeah.
Who beat him out that year?
It was 2015.
Okay.
He won... Like, I remember going into that, he won all the awards you're supposed to win.
You thought he was going
to win. That makes it a given.
Yeah.
And then he didn't win it.
Okay.
I'll look up 2015.
Yeah. Look up... I'm curious on that. Okay, let's go to the next bit of fun with audio. This was... So, people are doing a lot of Instagram live stuff to entertain.
Eddie Redman of The Theory of Everything.
Stephen
Hawking.
That was a really good movie, too. He was really good in that movie. So there, people are doing like Instagram live conversations, that kind of stuff. So one of the ones that happened over the weekend was Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony. They were doing like a wine tasting conversation kind of thing. They're just drinking wine and talking hoops. And Carmelo told a story. Blazer legend Carmelo Anthony told a story in there about how LeBron James saved his life.
I look up. The current is taking me in the middle of the ocean, like opposite from the boat.
We couldn't see you.
I know. And it was windy. It was all type of was going on through my head. I'm going to be honest with you. Then I look up at the boat and I see Bron jumps off the boat like he is, like he's MacGyver.
No, like that commercial that he had, the LeBrons.
Yes, exactly. He jumped off the boat into the water. He was bringing me back with one arm. He's swimming with the other arm and he carrying me in one arm.
I told people this story before. I said, listen, I've seen LeBron do a lot of amazing things on the court.
That was special.
On the court, when he went and saved Melo's life.
Nah, he saved my life. I can't hold you. He saved my life. Yo, LeBron, I appreciate that. You saved my life that day.
Yeah, shout out.
Them little flippers wasn't working for me.
What do we think of LeBron, huh? Put that on the plaque on his Hall of Fame trophy case?
That goes into the GOAT conversation. It ever reaches that point for anybody of debating.
How many lives did Michael Jordan save?
Right. Well, he saved actually everybody's by winning the Monstar battle.
That is true. They would have taken over the world.
No, it's cool stories like that that I... Again, those are also the positives we're getting out of this, right? Is you're getting... on Friday, this doesn't talk about the Carmelo thing, but on Friday I got home... And one of my favorite shows, it's an animated show on Netflix called Big Mouth. It's made by Nick Kroll. It's hilarious. It's about, you know, preteens hitting puberty and what life's like. And it's just a South Park version of it. They did a live taping on YouTube with everybody having Skyped in. And they're reading their characters' voices. And they're basically practicing through the script. Stuff like that is what I love about this, is they're giving back in a way and showing how they create content. I loved that we got the D-Wade Melo conversation, and then you add the fact that we had never heard this before.
Yeah.
The banana boat story was just them on a banana boat on a trip having fun like millionaires would.
They all want to play together, that kind of thing.
Nobody shared that Carmelo Anthony almost freaking died in the ocean and that LeBron James jumped into the water off a yacht to save his life. I can't believe we had never heard that story before.
Yeah, how did we overlook that?
But without quarantine, we may never hear that story until they're old and gray, yeah. So... You know, say what you want, but like that's a cool ass story to hear. Yeah. And you add that it's Melo as a Blazer right now sharing that story. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was great. We both, I miss it. You put it in your show email today, and then I did too. I saw that and I was like, we got to talk about this. Yes. I totally glanced over that you had it in your email as well.
I love that they called him MacGyver.
Yeah, he dove in like MacGyver.
And also, I think it also speaks to the physical specimen as a human being. That guy can jump off a yacht into the ocean.
Yeah.
Save a 6'8 drowning man with one arm.
He's like 6'8, 220. I mean, Melo's a big ass dude.
Melo's huge. Yeah. And he grabs him with one arm and kind of like swims his way back to the yacht to help save his life.
It's just no big deal, man.
Jeez,
no
Louise.
Big deal. One last fun story for this segment. We'll get to the pastor that cured everybody of coronavirus in the final segment.
Not a good weekend for pastors, by the way.
No, bad
weekend.
See
the one in Tampa?
Bad. Yeah. Did you see the one in Baton Rouge?
Ugh.
Yeah, not a good weekend for pastors. Anywho, now this isn't really a funny story, but at least there's one small chuckle in it. There was a Washington State man who was arrested after a chase on I-5 over the weekend. He's a 51-year-old from Lakewood. He's facing several charges, including DUI, reckless driving, hit and run, and felony eluding. Apparently, he hit a couple of cars, took off. Police started chasing him, and he was driving a 1996 Buick. When around 1 p.m. he hit those cars, he ended up getting into a high-speed chase on I-5 going over 100 miles an hour in that old 1996 Buick. They finally pulled him over around Kackman Road and Grandview Trail, apparently. And when the troopers walked up to the car, his pit bull was sitting in the driver's seat and he was sitting in the passenger seat. And he claimed that he was teaching his pit bull how to drive the car.
What drugs was he doing?
It's a really good question.
That's what I want to know out of this whole thing.
Yeah, he said he was teaching his dog how to drive and the pit bull was found in the driver's seat. He was steering the driving wheel. The pit bull had both of his paws up on the driver's wheel, was sitting there. And that was the case in which he was pulled over. And the Como news story I'm reading says it was not clear if the pit bull would be charged in connection with the incident.
Are we really buying that this happened or that he just maneuvered the dog over and told a stupid story?
I'm kind of buying that he maneuvered the dog over, but an interesting twist, at least, after a really bad story with a funny note, at least, there at the end.
Mina Kimes had a funny tweet, said, Grand Theft Pato.
That's a terrible
good dad joke. Good dad joke.
All right. What do we want to get to coming up next? We got a guy that saves everybody from the coronavirus. We'll get to that to close out the show.
I want to acknowledge how you've turned our final hour into just...
Hey, you like this?
No sports stories.
We're just kind of freeballing in here in the final hour. I want to save NFL over-unders for tomorrow because there's a little bit of meat on that bone.
Yeah, I'm really... We got that over a week ago. Swaghead sent that because he gets those emailed and... There's some interesting ones in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Some sportsy stories for us in that regard.
There's also a couple of ideas for college football in the NFL. I'll save those for tomorrow because I think we can. There's a little bit of meat on those bones. Let's get to this. How much would you pay for this sporting event in the current climate? I'll tell you what it is and the hypothetical of what might be going down. We'll get to that before... Hey, we'll pray the coronavirus away together. Coming up, close out the show. We'll also give you the results on the bracketology of the best sports movie villain. And we got some cool guests coming up over the next 3 days, so we'll tell you about that as well. Now, look, we're all desperate for sports, I would say. I think we hit that first kind of week or so, week and a half, maybe we were kind of in like, a, hey, all right, a little bit of a break. I'll catch up on TV shows and stuff. And then we all hit our, oh, God, we need sports in our lives. And now we're watching, like, we're watching the 04. Is this game 4, Yankees-Red Sox?
This might be game 5 now.
Did you catch the 1985 NCAA championship game?
I did not watch that one. I watched a ton of old ones, but I did not watch that one. No.
I forgot how well played that championship game was on both sides. I mean, guys didn't miss shots. Yeah. Now, it's weird because there's no shot clock and you could work offense for, you know, 45-50 seconds a minute, but the passing, the screening, the dribbling with both teams playing hardcore defense the way John Thompson did.
Right.
I came to a conclusion.
It was pretty amazing.
Georgetown is one of those programs that I wish would be relevant again.
I'm with you on that.
I always, it's not that I like rooted for Georgetown every time they play, but like Iverson, the Ewing days, Alonzo Mourning.
He's back there now, right? Isn't he their coach, Patrick Ewing?
No, Patrick Ewing's the coach.
Yeah.
I really hope they can get back or close to getting back to what they were.
The last time they were relevant, I want to say, was when they lost to Florida Gulf Coast. Have they been good since then, or at least a title contender? They were a 2-seed that year. I had them in the Final Four. They lost in the first round.
JT3 got them pretty good. I think that was a Jeff Green days.
Yeah.
But
Jeff Green, yeah.
Yeah. But they kind of fell off. They fell off the cliff. Yeah, JT3 started sucking. Yeah.
Otto Porter was on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Georgetown College and St. John's, I kind of feel that way too.
Same with the St. Johnnies. Yeah.
See, that's the romanticizing the old Big East too.
Oh, it's just absolutely used to, right? What it is.
I mean, that was the year three Big East teams got in because St. John's was in the Final Four too.
God. And with that, three teams in the same conference in the Final Four.
Also, the NBA needs to be back on NBC. Another conclusion I've run with.
Yeah, amen to that as well.
It was great.
Can we revive the snapper and bring him back too? Because he's my favorite basketball broadcaster of all time.
So good.
Hearing the snapper on those old basketball games again, God, that just brings back the memories.
I won't get it. You know how I watched Game 7, unfortunately?
You did.
Did I tell you the snapper had a barb at the Laker fans in the middle of that broadcast?
Did he? What did he say? He
goes, you know, normally these Laker fans are front runners and don't come out until their team's good. He said this just like matter-of-factly in between Walton and Costas.
Yeah.
And he just dropped it. He goes, but today they've been pretty good. And I was like, wow. Because he was the Blazer guy at that point.
He was. Could you imagine if Twitter had existed in 2000 to go after Snapper for that comment?
Also, drugs or just a career change for Walton?
because he used to actually
he was good. I mean, he was good.
Say things that mattered during games and didn't rant. He would jokingly say something like, who was it? There was a player going on and he says, I don't even know any. Do you, Bob? And Bob goes, no, I don't know anybody by that name. I think it was Rashid or Vetus. Yeah. He's like, I don't know any other Rashids. Do you, Bob? And Bob's like, well, no.
No, Bill, I don't.
I know Rashid Wallace.
Yeah, he used to take broadcasts. I think people forget, maybe you don't forget, but you're so, the Bill Walton vision you have now is like goofy, smoking peyote. Do you like volcanoes?
Not paying attention half the time.
He used to be the lead NBA analyst or one of the lead NBA analysts on NBC for a long time. So I don't know what, drugs is probably a part of it. He's also partially like retired, so he just doesn't care as much anymore, it sounds like. So he just goes with the Conference of Champions over and over again. Traveling around to Pac-12 games and that kind of stuff. Also, I mean, he's up there in age as well. But we all miss sports, and this came out yesterday, and it got my sports pants a little tight. And when I hope that they don't charge for it if it ends up happening, but I am willing to pay a decent amount of money, just to be honest with you, to watch it.
I think you're lying.
I'm not lying.
I think you're lying.
I'm desperate. So this came out. There was some random person that tweeted Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson saying, do you think there's a chance you two play around, mic'd up, one camera guy, just put it out there, stream it for people to watch. We need live sports right now. And Phil Mickelson responded, yeah, we're working on it. And somebody was like, wait, don't tease us. Like, what are you talking about? He said, I don't tease. I'm kind of a sure thing. And it has come out now that him and Tiger are in talks about putting on something to a certain degree of what they did last year. I didn't watch the one last year because it was they did it on a Saturday of college football season or something.
It was near the Civil War.
It was, I was right before Thanksgiving or whatever, but they played for $10 million, whatever it was. And I think Phil ended up beating them in Vegas. But this could happen because you just need Tiger and Phil on an empty golf course and you'd pick, their caddies, bring their caddies out and a couple of camera guys and one boom guy. You just follow them around.
We could just put the carts on golf carts or the bags on the golf cart.
You couldn't
and not
have drive.
Caddy.
Don't even need caddies, right? This, if there's any sporting event that could actually conceivably happen in the current climate, this is one of them. I am willing to pay a decent amount of money. I hope they don't charge and they're just let's throw it out there and stream it free. But knowing them, they're going to want to make money off of it. I would pay a good chunk of money to watch that right now.
First of all, it's probably the worst time to suggest charging people money to watch anything.
I would think so as well.
They ended up
giving it away for free, I think, last time, didn't they? I think there was streaming issues and
failed.
Yeah, there was
bunch of streaming.
Go watch it.
Okay, so you didn't watch just the last time.
Because there was a football set. I was working or something. It was the night of the Civil War
My guess
something.
Is you could find some sponsors and get it on Golf Channel.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, so I would highly put it on
NBC. If I was NBC, I would jump at this chance.
I mean, if you got this one-on-one Tiger Phil, actually not a throwback event happening right now.
Or Fox.
Yeah, hell, throw it on any network. Throw it on NBC.
I mean, what else do you have to watch right now outside of Netflix on live television?
Yeah, CBS isn't going to have the Masters in 2 weeks. No. Throw it on a Sunday when it's supposed to be the Masters.
I mean, it would be really
cool. Send them to Augusta.
It would be really cool. I think the circumstances are making this a bigger deal than
without a doubt. Because last year it was that's kind of cool that they're doing that. But again, there were other sporting events going on and it wasn't. If it had been done in the middle of nowhere when there was nothing else on the sports landscape, I probably would have watched it. But they did it the weekend of Thanksgiving, which is a meaty sports time.
The problem is somebody says the unedited, go live.
Yeah.
Know you're on camera. You want to talk some S, but don't get obviously too graphic.
Have a decent delay for when you're airing it. So if you need to bleep something, you can.
Yeah. Even then, just let it go through.
Yeah.
We hear BS all the time when the crowd chants it.
Yeah, if you did, you could make this even a charity thing too, of donate money to hard hit areas. You could turn this into a positive if you did want to do a pay per view kind of thing. Hey, everybody that can go buy it, we're going to donate 100% of the proceeds to X, Y, and Z charities or whatever cities or hospitals that need it.
This just feels like our only hope of live sports for the foreseeable future to me.
Doesn't it?
It's golf,
right?
Because football is going to be very
NFL, and MMA. They're still rolling.
Yeah, MMA. But the NFL is going to try to do business as usual. They do not care at all about coronavirus. And if they play a season with nobody in attendance and do 16 games and put their players through that, I'm not going to be surprised. That's totally the NFL brand. But realistically, right now, it only feels like golf has that ability. Because you don't, I know you might not do all the majors.
You could do it with tennis.
You could.
Opposite sides of the court. You have an umpire.
You don't need caddies and coaches. I'm sorry. I golf all the time without a caddy. If I was good, it wouldn't matter.
They can easily drive a car. That's
like the whole needing a caddy thing is pretty overblown. Just
go
play.
You could hook a camera up to the front of the caddy so you're filming them. They can like have a one-on-one like about the last hole or the last shot, you know, like, hey, what are you thinking kind of thing.
Yeah. But you got to think about numbers. Like Tiger and Phil with caddies, that's four people plus a cameraman or two. That's five to – like now you're disrupting the social distancing and the amount of people.
Somebody mentioned this. Anything for the problem with television is not getting camera people out and spacing everybody out. It's the production truck. Mm-hmm. So there's so many people that have to get in a tight quartered in the production truck. That's where it becomes an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. When we saw the one at the Winco Foods, we got a tour of their truck. There was 7-8 people, and then I think there were still like four others that still go in and out of that truck all the time, and that's not very big space.
Yeah, especially with when you're on a golf. It's different when you're in like an arena or something. You can find a spot in the arena maybe to spread out a little bit. So you'd have to get creative of where you would put the production team and how that would all work. There's a lot that needs to be figured out here. I'm just saying from a live sporting event standpoint, this is probably the only one that's realistic in the next couple of weeks. And I think it would be great if you started some listeners said start a bidding war between the networks to air this live between the two of them, Tiger versus Phil. I think it would get huge ratings. We're all like people are tweeting every weekend about whatever random sporting event they're watching. Like yesterday, Fox re-aired the Atlanta New England because I think Super it was Bowl. 3:28 or it was this week, whatever. But they re-aired it and people were like live tweeting it and watching it and going over it again. We're all doing it occasionally. Not the like we're watching shows and movies as well, but when you kind of run out and there's nothing on TV, I immediately start scrolling through the sports channels just to see what throwback Winter Classic NHL game's on or what baseball game's being played. And you're like, what the hell? I haven't watched that game in 10 years. So I think there would be a hunger for this.
You get, you have to strike the right tone with the country. And I know a lot of people are fortunate right now, including ourselves. I think the last thing you want to be doing is publicizing a bidding war financially for golf between two almost billionaire people.
Right. That's true. That's true.
I think it's the last thing we should do.
Do it for charity.
Do Fox or CBS do a joint venture where they both agree to air it or one network gets it. But the whole bidding thing, people don't really want to hear about, oh, you're spending $100 million to air Phil and Tiger. Great.
That's cool. A very fair point. But Phil Mickelson teasing on Twitter that him and Tiger are in the talks to do a one-on-one match right now.
One listener says, I don't want golf if you can't get it produced well.
Yeah, I mean, you would want it. Yeah, there needs to be some production value to it. You can't just have like GoPros on their heads walking around playing. You're going to want a little bit more than that. But I think there's ways to figure it out. They, of course, did this, the $9 million match last November. Somebody said it was on Black Friday. That was the day that it was on.
Can we just put it on Twitch and have them play Tiger Woods Golf EA?
Oh, watch him play a video game. I've seen people legitimately argue that that's how we should finish the NBA season is NBA players like playing 2K.
Well, then Myers-Leonard's going to win for Miami.
Is he good at video games?
I guess Myers-Leonard's like a serious gamer.
Okay. Well,
he gets on Twitch and talks crap when he kills people on Call of Duty.
Learn something new every day,
but
man.
See, here's the twist. You have Tiger and Phil play on Tiger Woods EA.
Yeah.
But Tiger has to play with Phil and Phil has to play with Tiger.
Ah. Then you give him like a motion swinger. He's got to swing lefty.
Yep.
Now we're getting entertaining here. Now, I hope this happens. I think it'd be great. We're all thirsty for some form of live sports. And Phil Mickelson says that they are working on it, a one-on-one matchup between him and Tiger. We got some religious folks who have cured the coronavirus. We'll get to that to close up the show. Also, the responses and results to the Bracketology, the best sports movie villain. You have a couple more moments to go vote if you want. At Durton Sprague, at 1080 The Fan, or text him in 55305. We'll send you off to the Final Four. Close up the show next on The Fan.
I woke up this morning and figured I'd call you in case I'm not here tomorrow. I'm hoping that I can borrow a piece of mind. I'm
and multiple listeners texting this. Hell, I watched eNASCAR yesterday. Pretty well done.
Really?
Another one. Sat here yesterday morning watching the virtual NASCAR race, and I'm not even a race fan. It was actually pretty entertaining, or I was that desperate.
What channel was that on, Fox?
I think it was on FS1.
Oh, okay.
Fox or FS1.
Can I share something?
Sure, we're in the trust tree. Share away.
You used to be really obsessed with NASCAR race car
games.
You
did. You were a NASCAR bro.
Well, I like NASCAR, which, by the way, Mike Lynch was tweeting with somebody.
Okay.
You know how you can see somebody you follow respond to somebody you don't follow's tweet?
Yeah, it's kind of
really
weird. Random how it works that way.
I guess FS1 is making a documentary on Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon.
Okay.
And I know that doesn't matter to 99% of our listeners.
No.
That was a big deal in my life.
Was it?
I hated Jeff Gordon.
You were a Dale Earnhardt guy?
Oh, with every ounce of my being. Yeah. And then when he died, you pick up the mantle with Junior and you just hope that he can anyways.
Wasn't Junior kind of a bust?
I wouldn't say he was a bust, but he obviously wasn't his father, nor sure. was he on the level of Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon.
Okay.
But he was like that tier two. He was the Scottie Pippen of NASCAR. He wasn't quite the guy you'd want to build a franchise wow. around, but damn, you'd want him on your team.
Okay.
But I got really geeked out by that.
Okay.
And then I didn't know they did the virtual race stuff on FS1.
Dude, you totally need to go buy this.
I'm telling you, we used to play it on the original PlayStation, the NASCAR games.
I've seen there's actually really like, cause you can buy the one that they do now. I think that they show on TV. They legit, like you buy like a chair and
oh,
a
yeah,
shifter,
steering wheel and
there's
and all
like
that.
A screen right in front of you and you sit in there and you steer and you drive that car, baby.
Maybe I should set up a camera at home, buy the steering wheel, the shifter, and then get like a generic NASCar helmet
Dude,
and twitch myself.
This needs to happen.
Going
this,
live, guys. We're about to win the Indy 500 or the Daytona 500.
I don't know how to do Twitch. I don't know anything about Twitch. If you twitched yourself doing this, I would probably watch. I would be kind of curious just to watch Sprague in his garage.
But like, I'm legitimately doing a 300 to 400 lap
oh,
race.
Oh, dude, yeah, you're all in. You're peeing your pants. You can't get out of that race car. There's no pause button. We're peeing right there in the seat, baby. The only qualification I would want to put on it is man. You would have to, instead of getting like a real NASCAR helmet, I would want like a beer NASCAR helmet.
Oh, with like
with the
twin
two cans
cups?
On the outside and you got the straws going in. Like, that would be awesome, man. I think the people would watch. They demand this.
You'd hear my crew chief on the video game, you need to pit, we need to pit. And I'd be like, no, we're going.
No, we're going.
We're
going
to make it.
Turn it left.
Oh, man. Yeah, to be this Scottie Pippen and everything, not bad. No, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had a great career.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the expectations were that he was going to reign supreme the way his dad did, and that wasn't the case whatsoever.
We had two more texts come in. Somebody said virtual NASCAR is just as good or just as bad. So I don't know what that means. Another one. I watched it too. It was actually pretty awesome.
Okay.
So maybe you got to check that out and go buy one of the car things. Get you in that seat, man.
There are people who do not listen to my radio show yeah. at all. In fact, they probably don't even know that I do a radio show. They just follow me on Twitter for stupid Oregon State tweets.
Yeah.
That would randomly see me twitch myself doing NASCAR, and they would have no idea what's going on.
What is this nonsense?
Oh, this guy's a big-ass redneck? I didn't know that.
Get her done.
Get her done.
You're driving in my race car. Turn to the left, baby. Oh, good times. Okay, let's get to this. We have a pastor, or two pastors. Now, do we know where this took place?
Do you have Sukanik's tweet up?
I don't think it's said on the tweet.
It did. One of the guys, okay. I didn't know his name till I saw the tweet, but I've seen him do infomercials. He is the kind of, and by the way, this is not a shot at religion. I actually feel bad for people who genuinely are religious and they have these kind of individuals yeah. ruin the reputation.
The tweet just says, this is basically me after three pints.
Oh, I see another tweet with okay. the guy's name. But anyways, this okay. guy is famous.
He's a famous pastor.
He's a multi-millionaire millionaire pastor who is famous for flying on private jets and getting Botox and then telling his followers that if they don't tithe during unemployment or job loss, uh-huh. God will not rain love on them.
Okay.
This guy is a very controversial figure in the Christian realm.
Well, here he is. Don't worry, everybody. We're all cured.
I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh,
I execute judgment on you, Satan. You destroyer. You killer. You get out. We break your power. You get off this nation. I demand Amen. Judgment on you. I demand. Hold. I demand. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
It is over.
Oh, cool.
And the United States nice. Of America is healed and well again.
Look at that. Hey, if you're listening at home, come on, go back to work.
That's it.
We're all cured, man. It's That's all done. It's all over.
Jeez,
our
man.
Long nightmare has ended early.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
The worst part is knowing that there's actually people who think,
yeah,
well, that's it. It's done.
That is true, Brandon.
Did you see in Tampa? I don't know the cat's name, but there's a mega church in Tampa, and obviously Florida got hit with this now, and they're on lockdown, to which there were photos of a beach, and in Duval County and another county, there's yeah. a line.
Yeah.
One county said, no, you can't go to the beach. It was completely empty. And right at that line on the other side of the county that wasn't shut down, there were people scattered all along the beach.
Yeah, because that's, you know, how this we're going to solve all this.
The social media shaming actually worked. The next day, the beaches were completely cleared. There's a pastor in Tampa, runs a mega church. He basically said, screw the shutdown order. and he held his service, and a lot of people showed up. He got arrested.
Good.
For breaking the law.
Good.
So.
That's, yeah. Yeah, the other one, do you see Liberty was back, and they already have a bunch of cases popping up?
Now, they weren't confirmed with COVID, but it was symptoms, right? They had like 12 symptoms, people that had the symptoms of COVID-19.
Had the symptoms, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good luck with
that's
that.
That's a crime. It should be.
It should be a crime. Have fun with those lawsuits. Okay, here are the responses for bracketology. You guys ready for the final four?
Let's go.
This is going to be the final four. We'll do this tomorrow.
Ooh, Tim Wakefield.
That's a great blast from the past, too. Tim Wakefield. He gave up the home run to Aaron Boone to lose Game 7 the year prior to this.
Yep.
God, what a great series. Back-to-back years, man. They went to Game 7.
Don't worry, Mike. We're watching the 04 series.
Yeah,
so,
04.
It's not going to end. It's on MLB TV.
Come on.
It's not our fault.
What do you want from us? Yeah. They're into the 12th now. Ortiz's home run's coming up. Here are your responses. The final four of the best sports movie villain. Number 2 seed Shooter McGavin moves on. Cruises past Johnny Lawrence, 74-25%. Next one up, this one, frustrating. Clubber Lang has beaten Bud Kilmer.
Mm.
That does not make me happy.
Well, it is what it is, man. Bud Kilmer was my pick to win it. My bracket has been busted.
He was my sleeper pick as a 3 seed. Clubber Lang moves on to the final four. White Goodman defeats Big Earn, 56-44%.
Really? Big Earn's gone.
Big Earn's gone, and then Ivan Drago. So your final four, Ivan Drago, White Goodman, Clubber Lang, and Shooter McGavin, the top 3 seeds?
The only villain.
1, 2, 4, and 6 are your seeds.
The only villain to not actually lose in any of this was the guy who got eliminated in Big Earn.
That is true.
This was the best villain.
Everybody ended up losing at some point. It's valid. Valid point.
That'd be like voting for the Joker over Thanos. Like, Thanos actually defeated him, and they had to go back in time to change it.
By the way, final thought from listeners. We asked a question earlier. This came from a golf podcast. Would you rather play with Tiger Woods at your favorite local course or play with 3 buddies at Augusta? 70% of people said 3 buddies at Augusta.
Yeah. That was the overwhelming answer in my group chat.
Yeah. That's how I'm feeling. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we're going to have some authors on. Kurt Sampson. Now, which one did he write? I got to go back and find that.
I think it's laid out for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of. He wrote The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. Speaking of Tiger, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods.
Yes.
So he's going to join us tomorrow.
At 1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock. On Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Wade Phillips.
Son of a bum.
That Wade Phillips, yeah. He's going to join the show at 1 o'clock. And then Sam Smith, who wrote a great book on Michael Jordan, he'll join the show Thursday at 1 o'clock. So all those coming up throughout the rest of the week. Hope everybody out there is doing okay. Thank you for being a part of our Monday. Number one's next, listening to 1080.
Ah, oh, damn it.
The Corona.
There we go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.